Certainly doesn't feel like autumn yet, but football season is underway. The leaves will be turning soon, the kids are back in school, and before you know it, the holiday season will be here. If you're stressing over your budget or find yourself worried about your debt, please know that the Sharp Mortgage Team is here to help you. With all the equity you have in your home, now is the perfect time to do a cash-out refinance, pay down your debt, and have money for the holidays. The Sharp Mortgage Team is happy to talk you through all your options without any commitment. And the review of your refinance options is complimentary. Sounds like it's worth the conversation with their team to see if a cash-out refinance could change your life. Call them today, 336-575-9448, or visit sharploans.com. That's sharp with an E at the end, sharploans.com.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
Welcome to the 12th episode of Top Tier Talks. We're here with members Grace O'Sullivan and Michael Hennessy, who have been members here for, well, Grace has been here for how long?
Call it a year and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say 18 months now. And Michael, maybe closer to a year.
Just over a year, yeah. 14 months.
Came here from Ireland to Winston, and I'll let them give a little bit of a background on their story, but welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Top Tier Talks, what's the story? Hopefully our podcast expert Adam here doesn't have to put in too many bleeps through this episode.
We usually we get the E, some the explicit sometimes. Okay.
We might have to sell it on Patreon.
we are Irish, so it's in our nature now, every second word or so.
Yeah. Apologies for anyone that can't hear us.
Grace, why don't you start? Where you're from, a little bit about growing up.
I am from the countryside in Ireland. Grew up with 7 brothers and 4 sisters. So a big family.
One of 12.
Yeah, one of 12. Big family. Usually shocks people when I initially tell them that. So I grew up.
Where are you in the birth order?
I am the 3rd youngest. Yeah. So I don't know what she was thinking. I still ask her that to this day. I'm wondering why. Why so many? I don't know how she put up with us all. But yeah, so I grew up in the countryside, as I said. And I, got into athletics at a really young age. Continued that until my early 20s. And then I went to college and I completely stopped. So that's kind of my background as such. And yeah.
Okay, well, we'll go back and flesh that out, but we'll get to Michael.
Yeah, so I was actually born in England for my sins. my parents were living and working in Saudi Arabia at the time, so I lived there for 3 years. Then we immigrated to South Africa. My dad worked there till I was 8. And then we set our feet back home in Bettystown in County Meath. So it was just after 8 years old when I lived in Ireland. Lived there up until 2 years ago since we moved over here. My sporting background, it was a lot of Irish sports when I got integrated into the education system in Ireland. So there's 2 big Irish sports under the one umbrella. It's called the Gaelic Athletic Association, and it's Gaelic football or it's hurling. Hurling is played with a stick and a ball, and then Gaelic football is a leather football. So I would have played quite competitively at an underage with those two sports, and then I was big into rugby. So that brought me up until I was 18, 19, and then work took over, and then now I find myself here.
Mm-hmm. And how did y'all meet?
We met when you were 17 and I was 18.
Yep.
We met at a friend's 18th birthday, and
the storyline is normally an art gallery.
Yeah, if anybody asks us how we met, we just say in an art gallery, because we don't get into the conversation, mainly for Michael's sake, because he looks like an idiot otherwise.
It's quite embarrassing, but no, it was a nightclub through mutual friends. We won't go into how I pursued Grace, but that's for another podcast probably.
So yeah, that's 13 years ago now, so yeah. Okay. We've come a long way since then.
All right, so sports. Mm-hmm. You talked about Gaelic football and Hurling. Yeah. Okay. Yep. See. Yep. Eastern North Carolina here. All right. So, Grace, what were you into specifically?
So I grew up. I also did Gaelic till a certain age, but they only had allowed you to do it until 13s or 14s, mixed in with the guys. They didn't allow women to girls at the time to, you know, mix in past a certain age. There was only two women on the team anyway. So, I did that for a number of years, but I originally started in athletics, and I high jumped until I was 16, and then I moved to javelin, which was a bit of a random one for people when they hear I was a high jumper. But I competed for Ireland a high jump under 16s and internationally as well, and then I moved to javelin, and I pursued javelin because my sister was the Irish record holder for the javelin. So I said, oh, I'll try my hand in this and see how we go. Turns out I was pretty okay at it also. So I ended up doing javelin then from 16 till maybe early 20s. I think we met each other and we both fell off the sports wagon. That's what I feel like happened.
She met me and then she stopped.
But yeah, also competed internationally for javelin as well. Did it with schools as well. So that's kind of my background into athletics.
What is like javelin practice like? What is training javelin like? Like, what does all that involve?
Well, right up until I was going to get really, really serious into it, there was a lot of, a lot of dynamic workout, a lot of like weightlifting. And I remember, like, if I could find it now, I'd love to look at it, because I remember looking at it and thinking like they wanted me to bench press just ridiculous amounts of weights for that age. Mm-hmm. Probably wasn't that ridiculous. But I'd love to find that piece of paper. But like a lot of weight training and like, yeah, your aerobic piece. You're all rounder, really. Mm-hmm. So you had to be quite dynamic in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was. I'm gonna fish that piece of paper out and figure out where I am now. Yeah.
So rugby. I've heard from sources.
Yeah.
In Ireland. You're a bit of a, not folk legend, but you held your own.
Yeah, so, well, naturally growing up, I was always quite tall and strong. And then through, say, we call it secondary school, but it would have been high school, I played quite competitive. And then at the age of 18, I was always big for my age and quite skillful at the game. So I played at a provincial level. And then played club rugby, made a few appearances at senior level, played junior level, played thirds rugby, and then, yeah, like I said, work kind of took over at 21, and I just packed it all in and focused on a career. But no, yeah, the folklore you're probably referring to was myself and Coach Chris visited my old rugby club on a recent trip home, and thankfully he spoke to the old legend in the corner that sung my praises. And it was pretty cool, actually. There was like a team building exercise of all the players I used to play with growing up, all my friends that I managed for a number of years before I came to America, and they were doing a barbecue, like a pre-season get together, and it was pretty special for Coach Chris to kind of see where we come from and mm-hmm. and the environment that we grew up in, and then the sporting teams that I was involved with. Pictures on the wall from under 18s of winning leagues, winning trophies, back when I could run and sprint and bench press 110 kilos. So we're slowly, with the help of Top Tier, getting back to that peak level of fitness, but a long way off yet.
You're getting there.
What does a barbecue in Ireland look like?
It's only cold and wet, yeah. So the rugby club, it's a gas barbecue, obviously, because you just want to get out, get it done, and get back inside as quick as you can. But so my dad normally does the barbecues back home for the rugby club. It's over a canopy, it's sheltered, all the food is set up inside in the function room and the bar. Once the food is ready, you bring it back inside. So quite a stark contrast to over here, where you can...
Yeah. Indoor versus everything's indoor, it sounds like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everything's tailored to indoors because the weather can change so quickly, and it's not a drastic change. It's just like we describe it as constant misery or constant wet rain. it just gets into your bones. But no, we're enjoying the cookouts, they're called over here.
Yeah.
They're pretty fun.
It's a lot different when you have the weather for it.
Yeah, the weather's everything.
It's more enjoyable.
Yeah.
You both mentioned stepping away from athletics for like work. What did that look like? Was it just a gradual transition out of like, okay, I'm not doing javelin anymore, so I'm not going to move my body? Or is it like...
Yeah, mine went from, I moved about 3 hours away from my home, and I had a local athletic club that I attended to attended for years, and we're very in Ireland, we don't tend to move away from our local athletic clubs. We stick with them, like the Gaelic Athletics as well. And I moved 3 hours away, and I also, one aspect of it, also saw my sister basically in her last number of years of school concentrate on just completely athletics and not the school. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out so well for her. So I think I've seen that, and I didn't want that to happen to me either. So I concentrated on college. I went 3 hours away, and I just didn't find a club. I just kind of fell out of it.
But you're focusing on academics.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And what did you study?
Applied social studies, yeah, in social care. So I got into that for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
What about you, Michael?
Rugby
to career, you said.
Yeah, so rugby, like, the thing is in Ireland is that in high school here, I feel like a lot of sports are integrated into the curriculum. Mm. Even college, there's a lot of sports that you can pick, and it's all very much done within the school day. In Ireland, all your sports are done outside of school.
Yeah.
You're a member of a Gaelic club, a hurling club, a rugby club, athletics. It's all done between 6 p.m. at night and between 6 and 10 at night. So it's a huge commitment.
It's also very separated compared to here. Because, I mean, you guys have your football fields, your athletic fields, and all in one area.
Yeah.
Ours are completely different.
And unless you go to certain schools that specific to a certain sport, it's very hard to compete at a high level in school. It's mainly done through clubs and organizations. So for me, again, the same thing. I got offered a chance with my current employer to go to college with them straight out of high school, which I took. That was a commute into Dublin, a commute back home, a lot of study time because it was condensed into 2.5 years. I then had to work as well as part of the degree.
He was also trying to commute down to me, which is 3 hours away.
He was also commuting down to see Grace, which is 3 hours away. So, and then I work in retail, so it takes up a lot of Saturdays and Sundays. So you're left with a choice. Do you want to focus on a career? I know we were both 18, 19 at the time. We moved out of home together at the age of 20. We rented in Dublin. So that was a huge driver for me. It was like, right, how can I make an established career? How can we earn an income? What do we want out of life? Do we want a house? You know, so that's where sport took a back seat. And unfortunately for me, it took a back seat for 10 plus years, or even fitness to that.
Same with me. Until I came here.
Yeah.
It's my...
And what made you, I mean, I know you just emailed me one day.
And I know, and you replied so quickly, might I add. Yeah.
What made you get here to a new city, not know anybody, and reach out to an athletic club?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We moved over here. He obviously had a plan because it was his job that was moving us over here, and I had no plan. I was just coming. We had very little time to kind of prepare it in one sense because with coronavirus happening, we were supposed to come over for 2 weeks and kind of suss everything out around and but we didn't get a chance to do that. So we just kind of flew over on a whim. We packed our bags, sold our house, and left. And I didn't really have anything to just jump straight into like he did.
Well, Grace had started personal training like 3 months before we actually flew to America.
Yeah.
And I think she was so fed up with trying to go to the gym with me or trying to get me back on fitness.
Gym settings don't suit me, especially like, you know, your usual gyms that you just go in and do your own workout. I never could do that. I was always around groups of people. So this to me is very similar. Obviously not the movements because this is totally new to me at the same time. But I remember just walking. I think we were just doing our walks around Winston trying to figure out what was what. And it was the first place I seen. And I was like, I wonder what that is. And then I was Googling. And it was the first gym that popped up. So I had emailed you then and you got back to me so quickly. So I was like, okay, it's faith. I'm going in that direction. You sent me Chris's details and yeah, I got in contact with him, went to my first. I need to be like in that environment though, like where it's one-on-one and I'm doing that. And it took me 6 months to even get into glasses here, to feel comfortable. And just in myself, it's nothing to do with the glasses or anything like that. It was so easy to get into and I absolutely love them and I'm here pretty much every day. But that's how I got involved in the gym.
But you like definitely went out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, completely out of my comfort zones. Not me at all. But I love it. I haven't looked back since.
Who's ready for movie night? Our friends at the Ginther Group Real Estate are proud to sponsor this season's Innovation and Cinema at Bailey Park in downtown Winston-Salem's Innovation Quarter. The original Mary Poppins on August 12th, Space Jam A New Legacy on September 15th, and Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone on October 20th. Bring your chair or blanket to Bailey Park for a great night of cinema from Aperture, beverages from Incendiary Brewing, and food from a variety of local vendors. These magical movie nights are made possible by the Ginther Group, the real estate experts we trust and showcase right here on the Triad Podcast Network. Make sure to check their social media for detailed info on each movie night. And for your real estate needs, call 336-283-8689 or visit theginthergroup.com. Buying, selling, investing, or just learning, whatever you need, start now. And like me, you can become a Ginther Group client for life.
Whiskey and Wad last year, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Was it the whiskey or the wad?
Well, so...
I think, right? You just came for the whiskey. Did you work out?
I threw him in. Oh, I threw him in the deep end.
There's a pudgy photo of me downstairs with every pore in my face open, just drenched in sweat. And looking back on the workout, it was pretty simple, to be honest. But Grace signed up. She joined, went through the personal training route, started integrating classes into the personal training. And she literally said to me, "I'm not waiting for you anymore to get fit. I'm just going to do it myself." So that was my motivation. It was like, right,
yeah,
she's given up on
hearing
me.
That?
Well, I mean, I tried that for, like, it's really hard. You can't push someone to do something. And I was totally concerned about his health throughout the years of different things happening. And I was like, you need to get fit, you need to get healthy. And I was like, in one sense, I think I'd said to him, I was like, it's not just you in this relationship anymore. There's two of us here.
Yeah.
So I, in one sense, I was like, you can't be selfish. I was trying to be mean about it, but not mean, because I wanted him to do something for himself, like just to...
We tried the whole walking in the evening, joining a gym, doing a fitness program.
Yeah.
Nothing seemed to stick, so...
But I just went out on my own. I was like, I'm doing my own
thing
now.
Grace was like, right, I'm in a new country... New town, let's try something new. And
yeah,
I saw Grace coming home and talking about Top Tier and the movements and the people and the culture and the environment. Mm. And, you know, everything was just positive. And then, of course, there was a social one, was it April?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Called Whiskey and Wad. And she's like, you don't even have to do the workout. You can just drink whiskey.
So I was like, okay,
right, let's try it. So... Reluctantly, I did the partner wad and then hung around for a bit, drank some whiskey, and hooked ever since.
Yeah. And that's when you started working with Chris, doing personal
training. Yeah, so I chose to go down the personal training route just simply because from the age of 20 to 29, 30, I did pretty much zero. I didn't run, I didn't exercise in the gym, maybe the odd sporadic kind of HIIT workout I would do. But no, it was pretty zero. So it's quite an intimidating environment to go in. And lucky enough, we're fortunate enough to be in a position that I could dedicate 2 days a week, do personal training, which then increased to two personal training days a week. And Chris was saying, oh, I take a Thursday class. Mm-hmm. Come and sit on a bike for 40 minutes. It's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a month or two. And then he's like, hey, you know, you should really come to our Saturday partner wad. So 2 days turned into four, and then all of a sudden I'm now a full member. And it was, hey, why didn't you come on Monday? Hey, you only trained 4 days last week. What's going on? Is everything okay?
Yeah, and signing up for competitions.
Yeah, and that's massive.
Doing the sauna and cold plunge, and all, you're all in.
We're all in. So, yeah, we said if minimum we're here. The contract is for 3 years. It's over next October 2024. Why not like invest in ourselves and see what we can do, you know? Grace is definitely more of an athlete than I am, and she's definitely driving to train and better herself. For me, it's pretty 50-50 split. I really enjoy the training. I enjoy getting fit, but then I also enjoy the social aspect of it. Meeting people.
Well, I mean, we've had conversations time and time again that, like, I mean, if it wasn't for the gym, we probably wouldn't like it that much, I feel like. It was the people we've met and the background of everybody you meet, and it's just, it's nice change, and
yeah.
I think we're just in our own little...
Yeah.
And I don't know if you, this is, maybe you can edit this, if you feel comfortable, but I feel like there was a big reason also, like, things happen in the past decade. I feel like you're like, I didn't do anything for, you know, but you you had a kind of some life changing experiences, and I don't know if you want to speak to that.
Yeah, I'll speak to it. So in 2018, I got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is cancer of the blood. Literally found a lump on my neck. Was at Grace's mom's house and was like, oh, you need to get that checked. And I was like, okay, and I'll go get it checked.
I wouldn't listen to Grace. A couple of days beforehand, I was like, you need to get that checked. And he wouldn't listen to me. So I said to mom, because I know he listened to my mom, I was like, mom, Michael has a lump on his neck and he won't get a check. And she was like, Michael, you better get out that door right now. She was like, not listening to him until he left. Yeah. And went and got it checked there and then.
So then on kind of also how I found out was I had a cut on my elbow, which required stitches. And turned out to be cellulitis, got him into the hospital. I was on a drip for, was it?
5 days.
5 days with IV antibiotics. They couldn't understand, like, young, fit person, how does this small cut get infected? And then how does it, like, not heal? So, left hospital, saw my GP in Ireland, and he said, that lump, you need to... He doesn't say much, like, he's a really old school doctor. Yeah. You know, he normally thinks everyone's faking, but he said, nope, I'm going to write you a recommendation and you need to go up and get a check. So long story short, I got a biopsy on my neck, turned out to be cancerous. They did some PET scans. I had it in my chest, under my left armpit, in my neck, and then obviously some to the side of my neck. So that required me to kind of give up work for 7 months, 3 rounds of chemotherapy, and then 21 days of radiation. So during that time, that brought me into like 2019. During that time, I went from 205 pounds to 275, you know, and
yeah, with steroids and everything. But he thought, oh, I'm gonna get cancer, I'll lose weight. And I was like, that's not how it works, Michael. That was his idea of it. I was like, that doesn't work like that, but okay.
I had a thing called anticipation sickness. So my body would just like fear chemotherapy and I'd just be pumped full of steroids.
Yeah.
But no, to that my detriment. So yeah.
Okay, you just described what happened. How were you processing all this? Like, what were y'all?
If you don't mind me asking, how old were you at the time that you got diagnosed?
So we
just bought our house. So
we had bought our house.
26.
Yes. I mean, nobody wants to hear cancer.
No.
Like nobody. No. But not at 26. That's not something.
No.
No. We had bought our house the previous November, and I got news in July the following year.
We were only in. It's a funny way. So, I mean, I'm very much like, I remember sitting there getting the news. I was processing everything. So I was like, what do we need to do? Right, what's the next steps? Mm-hmm. Whereas he was just sitting there like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm. Got the E.
I think we've done well.
It's worth the E. It's fine.
So I remember like leaving there. I just needed to know what we needed to do to get him healthy again.
Yeah.
That was my way. But I was constantly like that for months. So I nearly built myself up to a point that I was drained. Then when it did come to you being okay again, I was like, oh my God, thank God.
I'm sure your cortisol levels were just like always high. Yeah.
Yeah, like I didn't have to think. Like we're fortunate we had family close by, but Grace played a blinder. I mean, she's fantastic. She would bring me to chemo on a Monday, drive me home. I'd get sick, lay me up in bed. I'd be in bed for 5 days. She'd go and work 12-hour shifts in order to get 4 days off for me for the following week. And that was just a cycle for 3 or 4 months. You know, and the body kind of wears that as well. So that's, huge relief for Grace coming here and out of that environment is the fact that she can have this outlet. It's a new environment. We're not, we're not part of that kind of slog anymore. Mm-hmm. So, and that still plays in her mind, which is also why I'm taking up the fitness journey, you know, and trying to lose a few pounds and eat healthier.
You were just in remission after the those 7 months.
Intermission. So I'm in remission now of 5 years, I think, gone.
Yeah. But right after, like once you were done with radiation.
Oh, they checked them every 3 months and then 6 months being a year.
Yeah, it was every 3 months for a year and then.
Okay. Well, actually, it's 6 months a year.
6 months, yeah. So
they take it over here and they still get checked. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But no, it was, and it's no hero story. I mean, it's not as if getting cancer pushed me towards getting fit again. You know, it was literally I was, again, back to career focused and how can we recoup our losses. It was back to work in March of the following year. Mm-hmm. Right, Grace has worked her ass off for the last 7 months. I now had to have to pull weight, pay off our debt. No, it wasn't a thing, but it was literally like, right, let's get back on our feet. And it's funny because health is what, probably my lifestyle, like nobody really knows what causes it, but you could put it down to a number of things, lifestyle, diet, etc., stress. And then the very thing when you get told you're cancer free is you just go back into that environment and you go back into that kind of way of life.
Yeah, I think you slotted into that very quickly.
I slotted into it very quickly, whereas I didn't.
Yeah. I was like, no, you can't do that now. Like, or I'd be like thinking, this is the reason why, or, you know, it's very hard not to think like that. Even now, I feel like I still think like that. So,
Which is why, you know, this opportunity to come to America is such a clean break and how much the gym has played a part in that, you know, and the gym builds habits and it builds foundations and it forms friendships that you don't get bogged down in that routine of life. You know, you have something to do, you have an outlet to go to and to release all that stress that doesn't kind of subconsciously build up inside you every day. So
I'm just sitting here processing. I'm thinking about what I was doing at 26, and I mean, it's something, but I wasn't diagnosed with cancer, right? Like, that's just like, how do you, I don't know. You know, what I was about to say earlier is like, I've made a lot of life decisions from the military and the fire department. Like, cancer is very likely a word that I'm going to hear. It just is, and I've accepted that, like, and I'm coming to terms with that, but like, I want to live life by my terms, and I see you do that every single day. Like, you live life by your terms, and I really enjoy it because that's like I want to surround myself with people like that, right? Like, at no point did I ever see you or Grace like, oh, we were victims of cancer, or we let it like come. I mean, I didn't see it. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there in Ireland, right? But like, I see what you're doing now, and you're living life by your terms, and that's something that I like. It's like, okay, yeah, you can talk about diet or lifestyle or stress or whatever. It's like, okay, so how do I make the life that I want going forward? Something I tell Melissa a lot in the business, like, hey, we play the hand we're dealt. I'm not the dealer. I just play the hand I'm dealt. And so that's something that I'm just sitting here processing, like, man, like, how, for me, it always, anybody that knows me, it always, for me, it goes back, like, how is this going to impact my daughter? Like, when I take this for myself, everybody, I mean, she's in here all the time being crazy, right? So it's just cool, like, how can I be an example? How can I prepare myself for things that are going to come or that may never come, right?
It's the fear, though. It's like a fear that's always in the back of your mind, which I will always have, I feel like.
Yeah, so I recently ordered a little necklace. I'm not much into jewelry, but I wear some memorial bracelets. And then this one, I'm real big on the thing, memento mori, which is remember that we are all going to die. Well, when I get caught up in that, though, I forget that there's one that's also memento vivere, which is remember you have to live. So just sitting here thinking about it, processing it all, enjoying this. Also enjoying the Jameson.
Absolutely. But for the doctors out there, you know, it's, I kept on hearing, oh, it's a young man's cancer. Everyone thinks cancer, and like, my parents hear cancer, your parents hear cancer. Everyone thinks it's the end of the world, but you know, the saving grace was, it was like, oh, you're gonna be fine after this, you know. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but they kept on referring it to as a young man's cancer. And that used to drive me up the wall because they were like, oh, everything's fine, you're gonna be fine, as I'm getting sick into a bag and putting on 50 pounds and losing my hair. I'm like, you know what? F you. Beep. But no, it's definitely like, it's definitely shaped the way we view life at the moment. It's definitely like the habits, and it's only for me, especially, it's removing myself, because, you know, once I went into remission, I didn't change the way I lived. I didn't change the way I ate. I didn't go to the gym. I got more involved with the rugby through a management capacity, but I didn't train with the lads anymore. Mm-hmm. It was only when the clean break, and it was actually moving over here and, mm-hmm. you know, immersing ourselves in the culture here, in the gym, that we're actually now, you know what, I'm confident that if I did have to go back to Ireland next year, that I would have formed these habits around. And no, I don't want in 10 years time to be worried about my health. I do want to be able to touch my toes. I do want to be able to get into a deep squat at the age of 40, because I'm very aware that chemo and radiation will play a toll in how my body will react in 20, 30, 40 years. And it's about what I do now and the impact of what I do now that's going to rectify that. So, so thanks, guys.
Yeah. It's time to get serious about your financial future. It's never too early, but it could be too late to get started. And that's oftentimes the hardest part, getting started. How much do I save? Where do I invest? Do I save for college or retirement? How much for each? And who do I talk to about it all? Okay, we'll keep things simple for now and help you answer the last one. We recommend you begin with a local financial advisor. And that's Jennifer Johnson of Three Magnolias Financial Advisors. She'll sit down with you for a complimentary introductory consultation and go over all of your questions. Get started on the path to achieving your financial goals. Visit 3magnoliasfinancialadvisors.com or call 336-701-1600. Get comfortable with your financial future. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors, retirement, financial planning, and investments. Securities offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors. 3 Magnolias Financial Advisors and Cetera Advisor Networks are not affiliated. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
This is switching gears, but how has it been to share this space together? Or do you like, because y'all don't do a lot of the same classes. Sometimes you train together.
Yeah.
You've competed together.
We're very competitive, especially towards each other. I think, I know what workouts are good for me and what workouts are good for you and vice versa. But I think we have a laugh sometimes when we're in here where we try to outdo each other.
Yeah, I'm silent. I just go silent when I'm in the zone. And I just try not to talk. And Grace is quite chatty, and then she gets frustrated that I'm not talking back to her, and then I get frustrated that she's talking too much to me. So it's when you see us in class together, it's normally a Thursday. It's normally just a nice flow, stretch, shoot the breeze.
Yeah.
If it's a clean and jerk or a snatch, it's we're either opposite ends or Grace is coming over to me trying to talk to me and I'm not responding.
That sounds terrible. I'm definitely going to work on being over with him more now just to really trigger him.
Right, yeah.
Or if you see Grace on a Monday at 4:30 with me beside her, it's because I've been out on a Saturday and she's dragging me to class on a Monday.
It's impressive sometimes seeing you come in after... out.
Yeah.
How some of y'all rallied after tubing and were out to a from what rumors were 5 a.m.
No, not me.
I have no idea.
Well, actually, no, you weren't. You definitely weren't out after
this
tubing.
This year, I couldn't get out of the river. That was the problem. So it's on my goal board to do tubing this year. I did it.
Oh, he went hard at the
tubing
this year.
But I said to Grace, I was like, I'm not going out. You know, I'm sitting in the sun drinking. He's still trying to.
Everybody else he was going out, though.
I'm still trying to get that balance going. I think I delayed the bus as well. Sorry, Chris.
He went home and I was like getting ready, and next thing I hear is, and I was like, oh my God, is he? He was just passed out. He was passed out.
No, I fell asleep. Yeah.
I was out. I made it to 8 p.m. I picked up my daughter and I was out.
But you do have momentum usually. I mean, you do have.
Oh, like, I'm good stamina. To go most days. Yeah. Good to go. And yeah, we've a few things going on. Pretty much a lot of our social life is all the gym. Mm-hmm. All of our friends we've made here. Anyone that we would meet outside of working hours on our downtime, it's all done through the gym.
Yeah.
We formed really great friendships.
It may seem it all revolves around alcohol, but it doesn't really.
It doesn't.
Most of it does, but not all of it.
And looking into this next year, a few months left in 2023 and into 2024, and we don't know if you're going to be staying here past October of 2024. Like, what would you like to see continue or change or goals? Like, what are y'all hoping for?
Yeah, I just want to continue doing what I'm doing. I think I'm learning a lot every day. I'm by no means good at any of the stuff. There's lots to learn still. But I'm just happy to be here and happy to continue doing what I'm doing in personal training and in class. Yeah, I'm just learning every day.
Any skill that you're like, all of them. I really want to...
All of them.
Yeah.
Double unders.
I mean, Yeah, well, double unders, I got a little setback on that one because my calf was like... I was like, what's wrong with my calf? But it turns out it's actually my foot from repeated sprains. So I'm working on that at the minute just to... Mm-hmm. But we'll see how that goes. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'll get back to double unders. My calf, my foot's a bit more stable. Yeah.
For me, I was just really happy this year, kind of like it was like a pinnacle where we both competed together in rally. So we did a scaled male-female competition, and that was really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then another highlight was competing in the last group in the summer games, mm-hmm, for the Max Power Clean. So shout out to Joel and David that beat me, but it was a nice little... Not an ego boost, but just a recognition of how far I've come to be able to, at the end of the summer games, to be able to lift or do that kind of weight. So that was really good. And then I just enjoyed the rest of the summer. We did a couple of trips. Looking forward to next year. Definitely keep a good level of fitness for October, November, December. And I think work's going to wrap up with Thanksgiving and Christmas. But what I really would like to focus on next year is the Open. I know last year we were just off a trip from back home and our bodies weren't the best prepared, but I think this year I'm really going to focus on January, February, and then attack the Open in the scale division in the Irish category and mm-hmm try aim for top 10. So
okay,
that would be...
Because last year you were pretty high, Grace, weren't you?
And the scaled, yeah, I think I was like third.
Okay. Yeah, Grace was third. I was like 22nd. So
Chris is already talking about Orex for next year. I was like, ooh, I don't know about that.
But that's the beauty of it. You can rank yourself against your peers, which is fun.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what next year holds.
Yeah.
Another whiskey wad, take it off the list. And that's it. Hopefully
we might have to bump up cornhole a month though.
Oh, there
October
we go.
Of 2024.
Oh, right. I don't want y'all to leave.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're, no,
so...
I play the hand I'm dealt. Okay. I will 100% bump up cornhole.
It can be an October social before y'all move back to Ireland, if that's the case, for 2024. But hopefully...
If we do have to leave, we're cramming everything into October. So I'm just going to take the month off before I leave, and we're just going to...
Do all the things.
But no.
Whiskey wad, cornhole.
Hopefully we have many more whiskey wads to come.
That would be great to...
If not, we'll come visit. Every year.
It's funny, I'll make a I make no apologies for my drinking, right? Rarely do I get drunk, but I drink a good amount, man. Right now we're having Jameson, it's 4:30 on a Thursday afternoon. That's par for the course for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just where I'm at. Most people, if they're like, oh, I drink this and that, I'm like, it's bullshit. You couldn't drink a fifth if your life depended on it. And I'm like, I will buy you a fifth, and we'll go shot for shot, and we'll see who's standing. Michael, I'm like, I don't know. Michael's going to put me in the grave. So cornhole could be fun this year.
I'm already going to go over and help you set up.
We got to start early, right?
Yeah, told me 10:30, so I'm good with that.
And I think I've got a partner. Do you have a partner?
Yeah, actually, we're talking.
No.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Do we have to play?
Well, that's true. Okay. Well, then we can play, and you can be in charge of the board or something. We'll give you a job.
We're laying out the board better this year. Everybody complains about a double elimination tournament.
If anyone's listening and needs a partner, just let me know.
Michael needs a partner. For cornhole, or bags is what they call it, evidently, in like Chicago, I've heard.
Do they have cornhole in Ireland? No. That was a...
Take it back. You're going to be national champions of cornhole. Yeah. It's great.
There's a few things we're taking back. Oh, that beer pong game? That's... tell you what.
Okay, we can take the weather back now.
Oh, the weather, yeah.
Let's not talk about going back.
Yeah, we're going to be a bit more optimistic
so,
about it.
So, weather in Ireland, so you, is, are sunny days like this just never...
So, weather in Ireland's really funny because, I mean, we had a day at the beach where it was really nice and it was 62. And Chris thought it was like 90. He was like, we were all out at the beach, it was great, it was lovely. We all got like roasted alive nearly. And he was like, there's no way it's 62. I was like, it is. I was like, there's no ozone layer, I feel like, over Ireland because we all got, like, scalded. But it's mixed bag.
Yeah, we always say if you could put a roof over Ireland, it would be the best
or
country
if you
in
just
the world.
Give the best weather.
It's just from October through April, it's just like...
And it's not all the time. It just depends.
Damp rain. Yeah. You just can't plan. The biggest problem is you can't plan anything, you know? If you want to do a barbecue during the summer... It's just so unpredictable.
Very unpredictable. Yeah. You just don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get literally all four seasons in one day.
Yeah.
So.
Most definitely.
It's just what happens. Yeah. I'd like to say you get used to it, but you don't. You never do. Yeah.
Anything else that you want to...
I've enjoyed it. Well, looking forward to whatever the future holds, whatever hands we are dealt.
Absolutely.
But I'm definitely looking forward to cornhole.
No.
And we're grateful for y'all's membership and your presence in our community and how you foster the culture.
Well, the belief in us, right? The belief in us and our culture here. Absolutely. You know, coming from Ireland. Just remember you coming to the Whiskey and Wad and you know, like, hey, like I'm thinking I'm gonna work with Chris some. And then watching that evolve. Mm. I mean you jumped into the open gym workout.
That was fun.
it's really rewarding for me to be with people like y'all.
Thank
like
you.
Really rewarding from tubing to different socials to working out
to training together
We've had a great time here.
I mean Calla loves the little dinosaurs that got from like a year ago, so it's really rewarding for me. So very grateful. Very grateful.
Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Yeah. It works both ways. I mean, and it's not just because we do PT with Chris or Coach Chris. It's we've got to know a lot of the coaches here, and equally they share a huge belief in everyone that attends class. And you know, even we're fortunate enough to have that one-on-one interaction, but. You know, it's the detail the coaches put in, the monitoring of people, I know the communication amongst the team, and it's just about bringing people on and identifying talent in the group and identifying what people need to work on. And if people feel they need to work on something, every coach is open to it, you know, and every coach is open to giving that knowledge. Everyone's just very approachable,
Yeah.
It's a really fun place to be around, and hopefully it lasts for not longer.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Cheers.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple. Provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @TriadPodcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.